Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to heal your mind, body, and spirit? You can give yourself the gift of whole body wellness. Stay tuned for the next hour as Audrey Michelle brings you the new hit show, Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate. On Transformation Talk Radio, Audrey is going to take you on a journey to healing and wellness by sharing her infinite wisdom and creating incredible conversations with the expert guests she brings on. Get ready to rewire your life. Here is your host, Audrey Michelle.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Rewired Life Radio, where we learn to love, heal, and celebrate. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and each week on Rewired Life Radio, I get to speak with inspiring women, empowering you to love yourself, heal your body and mind, and celebrate life. So last week, the episode was all about neuroplastic pathways and short-circuiting our emotions with total mouthful, right? But all about creating these short circuits and patterns in our life that sometimes are really helpful and sometimes are really not helpful. And we are going to continue that concept this week and apply it to food. So we're going to look at what short circuits have you created for yourself around food that maybe aren't that helpful. So I'm real excited. My guest today is a food and nutrition coach with Eat Empowered, and her name's Cynthia Stad. Cynthia helps you end your war with food by reclaiming your weight, your health, and your peace. So Cynthia, welcome to Rewild Life Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Pleasure. So thank you for joining us. I wanted to share just a little bit about how you and I met. We're both in Denver and met, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Oh my gosh, I think it was two years ago.
We're both speakers, and so we had met through a speaking bureau and really, I think, connected over the idea of empowering women to heal, I think is at the cornerstone of what we're both up to. So I'm real excited that you are here today.
Yeah, I think that's a great common denominator for both of us. A lot of passion to help women heal on all aspects of mind, body, and soul.
Yeah. So again, your niche, your area is with food. And so I'm real excited. We're going to spend today talking about food in the realm of emotions and kind of, you know, obviously go through how it is you help people, but kind of connecting food and emotions and food and empowerment and again, work on these neuroplastic pathways and how we can break those patterns that we have knowingly or unknowingly created for ourselves in the area of food. So let's start here. Cynthia, what does eating empowered even mean?
That is a great place to start.
Yes.
Eating empowered means eating peacefully, eating happily, having food be something in your life that is positive, serves you, has one of the purposes it's supposed to have, which is pleasure, and not living in the zone of food being a constant source of struggle and anxiety and pain and confusion and, you know, feeling like food is your enemy. So eating empowered is the opposite of that. That instead of food in any way, shape, or form feeling like your enemy, it is having food be something that is not only serving you in your life, but is actually enjoyable and peaceful and something you look forward to.
Yeah. Being peaceful in your food and in your mind and in your body is, you know, obviously very important to you. Can you expand?
Yeah. You know, the reason I'm in business is because so many people are having such intense struggles around food and the power of food, I can say, you know, what food does in their body and for them. There's an intense amount of struggle around out there in all modern societies about this idea that if I can just get my food right, if I can just control my food the right way and figure it out, then I will be skinny and healthy forever. And this is the big source of struggle. So eating empowered is learning how to have this relationship with food in a way that does serve you. So you physically do have the results that you want. You are the weight that you at, you are the weight that you want to be at, and you are feeling good and healthy and vibrant in your body. So it's having those results, but it's even, I would say, more important than that is having a relationship with this thing that you have to do every day of your life, which is eat, having a relationship that is peaceful and easy and happy, and allowing food to be what it's designed to be, which is literally one of the biggest sources of pleasure and joy and vibrancy in your life.
Beautiful. I'm like, I want to eat. I actually did just eat. I had one of my favorites. I'm a breakfast fiend. And actually, I think this is how you and I first, I mean, we met in the speaking bureau, but then we like outside of that went and met and had brunch. And, you know, I had my eggs Benedict. So you throw a poached egg on anything. And that is just like my, So that is what I had right before this. But as you speak about food in that way, I'm just like, oh my gosh, yes. Like I want more of that in my life.
So. Yeah, well, food has become demonized. You know, it's become a lot of people's enemy. I will say that's the more extreme version when it's someone's enemy. Mm-hmm. I'd say for the majority of people, food has become this thing that we have been programmed to believe we have to control and we have to figure out and we have to get right. And if we don't do that, well, then watch out because we're going to be fat and unhealthy forever.
Right. Yeah. So that is absolutely a neuroplastic pathway, right? In our brain, like you said, we have been, you know, brainwashed or whatever word you had used it to believe these things. And so we want to go in and break this belief down and rebuild it in a way that makes sense to us individually. And so this is absolutely something you are up to, the difference between mind knowledge and intuitive knowledge and what that means to us when it comes to our food and how we eat.
Yeah. So the cool thing is we need both of them. The problem out there is that we have all been led to believe by all of the nutrition gurus and the experts and everyone out there, we've been led to believe that all we need is the mind part of things, that all we need is the mind knowledge, the nutritional knowledge. I like to call it brain candy, right? That if we just get it right, if we just learn about carbs and fats and proteins and we figure out calories and how to master it, and we figure out that perfect balance of these nutrients in our diet, then we are going to get it right, right? And that's the mind part of things. Now, that's very important. Nutritional information is very important. Nutritional science is very important. The problem is we have all been led to believe that this is the only player in the game. Mm-hmm. That 100% of nutritional power, meaning 100% of what will truly affect your bottom line, which is your weight and your health, that 100% is mastering the nutritional science. We have been led to believe this. Mm-hmm. That is the problem. I put out there that, hang on, people, if this were true, wouldn't we have done it by now? Like, why would there need to be another diet book? Why would there need to be another guru writing another yet opinion or book on nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. This is not the whole piece of the pie, because what we're missing in this is all the stuff that gets in the way of who we are as eaters taking in the food that also absolutely affects your bottom line, your weight, and your health. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other pieces here we have to look at besides just the food itself, besides just the nutritionals of the food itself, that are absolutely going to affect that state of your being, your weight, your health, how you feel inside your own skin, your level of confidence, your self-esteem, right? All of it. And that other side of the coin is you as the eater taking in the food, what you bring to the table with your intuition, with your cravings, with your belief systems, with your emotions. Mm-hmm. There's so much power looking in this realm to permanently heal whatever patterns are going on with food and weight and body that you have not been able to heal.
Yeah. I think that is so fascinating. And I think, you know, we talked about this in our lead up to right now is, I've never been a dieter or a calorie counter or anything like that. until I went through my healing journey and it became very obvious that food needed to be a part of my healing as well, just in a way of cleaning it up. And so eating clean has really been the only, like, if you want to call that diet I've been on, I don't know if I'd call it a diet, but like choice, food choice, I guess. And I did it from a place of feeling better. And you know, everything I'm up to is all about watching the choices that I make and then assessing it in my body. How does my body feel? How does, you know, how are things showing up for me? And really getting rid of, you know, hormones and sugar and the whole like processed food. And I did it because I felt better. And I'm guessing that's what you're talking about when it comes to the intuitive part of putting yourself back into it too, and taking the science and then taking how you feel and, you know, are you eating with joy? Are you feeling better as the intuitive part?
Yeah. Our motivation for why we're doing it is exactly what I mean by who you are as the eater coming to the table and how that drives your behaviors. Like, you know, when you went on your journey of physically cleaning up your diet, you were doing it from a place of love, from a place of healing, from a place of, you know, this is an experiment and I love my food and I love my body and I want to merge these together and I want to go through this journey and see what happens, right?
Yeah. For me, it was like, oh, I love my cheeseburgers and I don't want to give up my cheeseburgers. I still love them, but maybe I don't need to get them from Burger King. Maybe I can get them from, you know, a place that uses clean beef and, you know, organic vegetables and farm to table vegetables. And obviously I live in a place in Denver that is very foodie driven and, you know, hipster central. So that sort of thing is easier for me here than it is in other places in the country. But that shift was big for me in powerfully choosing the food that I put in my body.
Yes. And the thing I love the most about what you just said is that you did that without struggle. You did that in peace.
Yeah.
Right? The way you were motivated to do that was in peace. It was coming from love. It was coming from peace. It was not coming from this place of, I better get it right. And I better follow the plan exactly, you know, because that in itself, if you would have approached it that way, you probably wouldn't have achieved the results that you achieved with the actual food that you were eating.
Yeah. Like depriving myself, like, oh, now I can't have cheeseburgers. Like I'm deprived.
Right.
But, you know, choosing to still have them in my life, just maybe, you know, a better quality of it. But anyway, so this is a good place to take a break. So it is, you are listening to Rewired Life Radio. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and you can learn more about my book, my coaching, and find free meditations at audreymichelle.com. So when we come back, we are going to continue chatting with Ms. Cynthia Stad of Eat Empowered. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am so thrilled that we've created this venue for all of you out there.
Dr. Pat Basile will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
What we have heard is that you want to ensure for us that we keep positive, holistic, uplifting, transformative talk radio on the air. We're excited to bring you the contemporary conversations about Lyme disease.
We promise not to let the light fade on Lyme.
So fasten your seat belts. We've got lots more to share with you in the weeks to come.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio with Dr. Pat and help keep our mission strong on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Hi there, we are back on Rewired Life Radio. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and today our guest is Cynthia Stad of Eat Empowered, who is talking with us about not only empowering women to heal, but how to end your war with food. So before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to learn more about Cynthia. So can you give us more, where can we learn the most about you?
Oh, sure. Well, there's one place, and that's my website. And
yes,
that's
good.
And that's my name. So it's cynthiastad.com, and that's spelled cynthiastad.com. And there you can find all kinds of videos and free content and articles. And if anybody is interested in working with me privately, I love working in my practice. It's all virtual. You can contact me and we can talk about that. And I also have a great, very comprehensive online program that's literally called End Your Food War. And you can get information on that at the website as well.
Awesome. Thank you. So we ended last segment starting to shift into this idea of intuition and how our intuition can guide us around food. So I wanted to start with, you know, how is it that our intuition gets lost within the nutritional conversation?
Yeah, you know, it gets lost because we're all being taught to lose it.
Yes.
So what I mean by that is every nutrition book you read, every diet plan, every, you know, whether it's paleo or the Whole 30 or Mediterranean diet or whatever it is you're learning about with nutrition, you are being taught to pre-plan and follow a plan, right? That to do it right, to get it right, to make it work for you, you're going to pre-plan and you are going to eat this at 3 o'clock next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm terrible at that.
Well, you're terrible at that because you're not designed to do that.
I know.
What that does is it completely bypasses everything that we're calling intuitive information for making food choices. So, for example, intuitive information is craving in the moment.
Like cheeseburgers.
Yeah, like right. Eggs. Yeah, you might sit down and like, you know, right now it's 3 o'clock next Tuesday. And in that moment, you're really hungry. You just exercised. You are getting lightheaded. You really need sustenance. You need grounding in your food. Like this is what would be the most nutritional for you. Mm. Yet because your mind is trying to follow a plan and the plan says you should only be eating a salad with chicken right now,
yeah,
you bypass so much nutritional information that you actually need. And you're not allowing that to come through. And the problem with that is that long term, you are never going to win your food war and you're never going to actually get the permanent results you're looking for if you consistently bypass this. Mm-hmm. That is the problem.
I like it. So you're telling me I can just eat what I'm craving.
I'm saying you need to dance. Yes, I'm saying you need to dance with it, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know the first thing people say back to me when I say that is, well, I crave M&Ms 24/7.
Right. But after, like, let's do run with that for a little bit. So, okay, so I'm craving my M&Ms. So I let myself eat the M&Ms and eat the M&Ms. And you probably get tired of eating the M&Ms, right? And your body starts saying something different.
That is exactly what happens. When you literally learn how to start trusting what your body really wants and needs when it comes to food, and doing this on all levels of craving and emotion and centering in your body and using your taste buds. And I kind of take people through a whole process to learn this. But when you really start to do this, you're accessing this information in a way that's so, so powerful. And exactly, long term, you're genuinely not going to want those M&Ms day after day after day. Mm-hmm. The problem, what happens for most people is because you don't even allow yourself to do this a little bit, you come in with resistance. I shouldn't eat the M&Ms. I shouldn't eat the M&Ms. I shouldn't eat the M&Ms. But you do. And then you send yourself on a whole guilt and shame cycle that lasts a lot longer than if you would have just let yourself eat the M&Ms in the first place, figure out how many you really need only to solve the craving. Mm-hmm. And then watch what happens 4 hours later when you go through the process again and let yourself truly tap into what you want now.
Yeah.
That's a whole different way of doing food than the way a lot of people do it.
Yeah. And being able to, again, you said tap into, right? And so if I'm able to tap in and be like, ooh, M&Ms, right? We start there. And then, but then if we're coming from a place of being tapped in, you might only need like 3 or 4, or if you eat the whole dang thing, you know, if you're at the beginning of your journey, eat the whole dang thing. And then maybe you get the experience of actually feeling what that feels like in your body. And it might be good. It might not be good. I'm just guessing for myself. If I had downed a whole bunch of M&Ms because I did take sugar out in my healing journey, like, I can't make it very far anymore. Before my body says, okay, thanks. That was good enough, you know?
Yes. And most people don't even let themselves really go through that process or get honest with that process because there's so much head stuff going on that they shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I have seen, and I can say this as a professional working in this field, I've been doing this for 15
You've
years.
Many, many people go through this.
I have seen many, many people not get where they want to be because they are so tied to their food rules. So tied to them. So their food law runs their life. Mm-hmm. And although they think that food law is the answer, is the way to control everything to get what they want, it's actually just the opposite.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So can you talk to us about how it went for you? Like, how did you escape eating in a, quote, certain way?
Yeah. Well, I was on the extreme side of the scale of food law and rules because I was actually a binge eater. So my pattern for many, many years, I was a professional dancer. And unfortunately, a lot of dancers do fit the stereotype that there's some kind of eating disorder going on. I won't say all, but a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was in this pattern where I was on a mission to control everything. Right? Control everything in my life, but certainly control my food. I had to be perfect in my food to keep my weight down to be a dancer. And again, this was the belief system. So I would go about that. And then it would crash because that doesn't last very long. And I'm talking like 12-hour cycles, right? Where I would approach things that way. But then, oh, my emotions would get in the way. And I would start to feel like complete anger about something or despair that my life sucked or whatever was going on in that moment. And all of those food rules would go out the window, but not just go out the window. They'd be like pushed out the window full force. And next thing I know, I'm stuffing my face as fast as I possibly can with everything in sight. So that's what I mean when I say the extreme version. So I was in this constant cycle of control, rebound, control, rebound, control, rebound. Mm-hmm. And it did the exact opposite of what I was trying to be so in control of in the first place, keeping my weight down. I ended up gaining about 40 pounds that I couldn't get off. Mm-hmm. Now, that 40 pounds did not come on because I should have been eating a tuna sandwich, or I should have been eating a salad instead of a tuna sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. That 40 pounds came on because of this eating behavior, because of this pattern, because of the way that I was understanding and approaching and relating to my food and how food was serving me in my life. Had nothing to do with the nutritionals of the food. So I was a binge eater. And to your question of what got me out of that, and having me permanently lose 40 pounds had nothing to do with controlling the nutritionals of the food. Yes, did I want to eat healthy? Absolutely. And did I work towards that goal to just simply put more healthy foods in my body than unhealthy foods? Completely. But what allowed me to do that consistently wasn't because I had the knowledge of it. It was because I worked with me, because I worked with my emotions and my belief systems, both about food and about myself and about the world. It was because I worked on my relationship with food and how I was using food and understanding it. For me, there was a lot of emotional eating going on. So I had to learn what I now call breaking the feeling to food connection, right? I was using food as a solution to my emotions. Well, I can tell you that if that's your pattern, having that nutritional knowledge, all the nutritional knowledge in the world is not going to make a difference if you're trying to permanently lose weight.
Yeah. So we have to go to break here quite in a couple minutes, but how did you know that you were eating you were getting emotional and you were eating? How did you connect that for yourself? Or did you always know it?
That's a good question. But I think for me, it was just so extreme that I knew it because my emotions were strong.
Okay.
But that is a great question, because that is a process of what I work with a lot of clients, is that they're not always aware that.
Yeah. How do you know if you don't know?
It's starting a process of tuning in and getting to know yourself a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is totally why you and I connected, because it's about digging down deep and being like, wait a minute, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? And starting to begin to stop the unconsciousness of eating, or for me, you know, emotions and whatever, however it shows up, if it's food or if it's something else for my clients. But yeah, anyway, you said that and I was just like, how do you know if you're an emotional eater if you don't know?
Yeah. So I think for anyone who might be listening, who, like, if you can relate to what I'm saying of, oh yeah, I'm emotional and I use food when I'm emotional, great. Just know that, trust that. That's information you're going to need to work with. And for those of you who are like, I really don't have a clue, I would say the first place to look where that usually lives is in some realm of anxiety and worry. So where you identify as, whenever you're feeling stressed, when you use the word stress to yourself, stress, usually when we peel back the layers, it usually comes down to some aspect of anxiety, worry, or fear. And feeling anxiety, feeling worry, and feeling fear are feelings, they're emotions. Mm-hmm. So I just find, just again, from working with a lot of different kinds of people, that's a good place to start. It's a good place to look.
Awesome. Okay. We got to take a break. Again, I'm Audrey Michelle and you are listening to Rewired Life Radio. If you go to audreymichelle.com, there's more information about the work that I do. And of course, Cynthia, our guest today, you can go to cynthiastad.com and learn more about what she is up to. So we are going to continue this conversation around food when we come back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Have you ever said to a friend, "I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special." Or how about, "I am working on getting a job I love." Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, "I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love." While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Welcome back to Rewired Life Radio, where we learn to love, heal, and celebrate. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and today our guest is Cynthia Stad, who is talking to us about empowering women to heal, specifically by empowering the way you eat. Again, you can learn more about Cynthia by going to her website, Cynthia Stad with two Ds, cynthiastad.com. Okay, so today Cynthia and I were talking about the idea of choosing our food. And I want to continue in a place of intuitively choosing our food. And from an energy level, I think this is a critical shift in our collective consciousness and our ability to heal, is to choose our food on an intuitive level and an energy level. Cynthia, we were kind of talking about this. The energy in which your food is prepared is so important, and how you show up to your food.
Yes, both equally important.
How are you helping your clients shift that, right? From going to, I think the words we were using before the break was, you know, just unconsciously eating. And not that you're just like closing your eyes and shoving food in your mouth, but like not consciously choosing what you're up to and choosing it with joy. How are you shifting that for people?
Yeah, well, the first thing I like to do is define some things for people. So we hear the word conscious eating thrown around a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, we want to eat consciously. We want to be awake at the plate. And that essentially, that's where this answer comes from in that realm. But yeah, I can give you some definitions that have helped to understand.
Awake
that
at the plate. I'm holding that one. That's,
yes,
that rolls off the tongue really well.
Okay. So what does awake at the plate even mean? So the top level, I like to call it the umbrella, is conscious eating. And it's very simple. Conscious eating just means everything that's involved to be conscious and mindful and present before eating, during eating, and even after eating. Mm. That's it. Simple definition, right? That's conscious eating. Under the umbrella of conscious eating, we've got two pools of water. First pool of water is mindful eating. Second pool of water is intuitive eating. Mindful eating is coming from the head. This is where we say, okay, I want to be present when I pick up the fork and smell the food and eat the food. It is my mind working. I have presence. I have awareness with the food. I am interacting with the food. I am there, and I'm using my mind to guide that process, right? That's mindful eating. That's one pool under the umbrella of conscious eating. The other pool is intuitive eating. Intuitive eating is where we access the body, not the mind. So intuitive eating is where, right before we sit down to a meal, we check in with ourselves and we say, very quick question, what am I hungry for? Just that question, not what should I eat? That accesses the head. We want to stay out of the head. Mm-hmm. Intuitive eating is the body. What am I hungry for? This gives us a gut answer. I'm hungry for crunchy. I'm hungry for soft. I'm hungry for heavy. I'm hungry for light, right? There's all kinds of words we can then use.
Yeah.
We're accessing the body wisdom in that moment. There's no pre-thinking. There's no head stuff going on here. This is complete intuitive body information. That is the beginning of the process of intuitive eating. And then we keep that going through the process of eating and even after eating sometimes. So does that make sense for the difference between mindful and intuitive?
Yeah.
Okay. We need both. That's the bottom line. We need both. And they're both part of what I call conscious eating. And all of that, just to give perspective again for what we were talking before, all of that is the other side of nutrition. It's the other side when we agree to take a break from the nutritional rules and the science as our Bible, as our only guide, when we agree to take a break from that, then we open ourselves up to this realm of conscious eating, which includes mindful eating and intuitive eating. And I promise you, there is gold in there to get to where you want to be with your weight, with your health, with eating the diet and living in your eating life the way that you really want. There is gold in there.
Yeah, I can feel it. And the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, this is the energy of what we're bringing to the plate. You know, am I sitting in stress as I'm eating this food, or am I sitting in joy as I'm eating this food? And am I surrounded by, you know, if eating with your family on a nightly basis is what's important to you, are you being present in that as you're eating the food that's on your plate, right? That goes into it too.
Absolutely.
Am I understanding that right? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And I find for me, eating to be a place of celebration and joy. You know, a lot of us use it as a place of, you know, celebrating somebody's birthday. I'm just thinking this is my grandpa's 85th birthday, like 2 weekends ago. So, you know, it was all around the meal. And are you allowing yourself to be in that place of celebration and joy as you eat that food?
Yeah, and it should be. You know, that food is primal. Food is a bonder of humans. It brings us together in celebration and social connection. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because part of what all of this nutritional culture has done to us is has made us forget that. It has made us believe that all of this nutritional science and mastering the food is more important always than having some sort of celebratory social human connection experience around food. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Tell us, Audrey, you were telling me when we were chatting earlier about your funeral story.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was like, the flip side then, you know, I was going to say, you know, within preparing that food then for my grandpa's 85th birthday, you know, for us was a lot of joy. My grandfather lives in Los Angeles, and the bulk of my family lives in Nebraska, and then some in Arizona, some in Texas, and so a little bit spread out, but everybody gathered in Nebraska, and so, you know, you're cooking, and the out-of-staters were just like, there better be sweet corn at this party, you know, and so everybody's excited about the food, you know, happy, you know, to see, have everybody together and see grandpa, and so that's one way, right? The other way that you and I were talking about is I don't tend to eat food at funerals, and it comes from a place of how was that food prepared? What energy was in the room or in the person that was making that food? And it, again, for me, I feel so much, right? So I could feel it. My aunt passed away a few years ago of aggressive cancer, and so it was sad, you know, that was a very sad place to be. But it was nice being, you know, at their church and the church ladies, you know, the congregation came together and created a meal for us, but I could feel the sadness in the food. Mm. And I couldn't eat it. I couldn't eat it. And I remember somebody looking at me and being like, for those of you who don't know me, I am not a big person. My whole family is quite skinny. And they looked at me and they were just like, skinny Minnie, you're not going to eat. And I'm like, yeah, no. And I was like, my family knows I'm weird and out there and totally woo-woo. And I'm just like, the energy behind this food, I can't put that in my body. And I'm like, not from like a judgmental place, just like, I have to go someplace else to nourish myself.
Yeah. And how amazing. Like, you just embodied exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's amazing that you did that, because that's intuition. That's intuitive eating. It's making the choice to put or not put a food in your mouth based on that kind of criteria.
Yeah.
And I would make the argument that long term, that can be just as nourishing at a choice for you long term as anything else that you're evaluating nutritionally, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I remember somebody being like, you're going to be so hungry later. And I'm like, I can't. Like,
and
I
who
don't
cares?
Feel hungry right now. I don't feel
and it doesn't matter.
Like eating this food. And
yeah.
We did, you know, end up going someplace and eating later, which was dinner for everybody else and was my lunch and dinner. But my body felt fine. I wasn't like starving. I wasn't ravenous. I wasn't any of those things that you think would happen if you skipped a meal. It was just, for me, that's what I needed to do.
And that's great. And that's great that you knew that and you were present with it. And even if you were ravenous an hour later, then fine, you're ravenous an hour later and you eat then. And then you go through the same process to make the choices of what's right to put in your body then.
Yeah.
There's no problem here by listening to your intuition. There's no problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And for me, it extends further than, you know, funeral food is one to, you can like really imagine the potential energy behind the food. But processed food is the same way for me. Like there's no, that's energy-less, right? Without any, it's not positive or negative. It's just not there. And so for me, it was just like, yes, taking out processed food, but I now feel it as a way of it's just like lifeless for me. And so feeding myself with food that is energy more than the caloric intake, right? Energy from a life source energy standpoint is so important to me.
It is.
So, yeah. That's where the whole like organic and, you know, again, I live in Denver. It's very, you know, locally sourced, organic, you know, raised well, or what, you know, whatever labels we have for it around here. But,
yes. Gosh. I'm sorry. Can you hear my dog?
Yes.
They're all the way.
I have something to say.
They're all the way on the other side of where I am, but I'm sorry that came through.
That's okay. You know what? It's perfect timing anyways, because it is time for a break around here. And so we'll let puppies say what they have to say, and we will come back and talk to you more about, you know, intention behind food and all the fun stuff that I like to ask in the fourth segment. So again, we're going to take a break. This is Audrey Michelle and you're on Rewired Life Radio. And again, you can go to audreymichelle.com to find out more about me and cynthiastad.com to find out more about our guest, Cynthia Stad, today. So we'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundations Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, and low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough. Overcome life's greatest challenges and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
We are back on Rewired Life Radio, where we learn to love, heal, and celebrate. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and today I have guest Cynthia Stad here talking with us about how to empower women to heal by empowering you in your food choices. So, of course, here we are in the last and fourth segment of the show, where I ask my guests the same question every time, and that is, how do you show up in your life with intention?
I love this question.
I know, I was telling during the break, I was like, this is key for me because my guests are up to big stuff in their life, and it doesn't just accidentally, like, you don't accidentally heal from, you know, binge and purge. You don't just accidentally discover how to eat from intuition. So
yes, you're absolutely right. So I just love this question because it reminds me to remember that I am where I am. I have what I have, and I don't have what I don't have because of intention, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of
both
all
ways. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's all of it. So, I guess the first way I'll kind of answer this, you know, how do I live my life? Was that the question? How do I live my life with intention?
And show up in your life with intention. Yeah,
however show up in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I show up in my life. My work is a big part of my life. So I'll mm-hmm. kind of go there first. Mm-hmm. I show up in my life with intention around my work because I choose every day. And when I say I choose every day, I mean, I really choose every day. Like, there are many days that I might not want to do what I'm doing, or I might be like, you know, I just should go be a veterinarian. Like, I should just do something different.
Go love them doggies.
Exactly. And it's always a process for me of coming back to my grounding, my why, and what I think is my purpose. So intention to me is just reclaiming purpose every day. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Awesome. And that's how I show up. And that's what I have to do. That's what I do now in all areas. But I think I've learned how to do that and how to ground into that more on the work career front. Mm-hmm. And then I extended it out to the personal front.
So what does that look like for you?
So the first thing, hands down, is literally just a reclaiming every day. Just an energy, a feeling, a sitting down and being, getting quiet for 5 or 10 minutes and checking into my purpose, checking into what do I want to claim? How do I want to use my time? Where do I want to go? Why am I here? What am I doing? And that sounds big, but when you do this every day and you try to make it quick, that the purpose of it is to make it quick. It's not to dive into it in depth every day. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, it's that quick check-in. Like think of if you dip your toe in a pool real fast, then you pull it back out. Well, you need connection with the pool. So I need connection with the pool, but I don't have to swim every day. I don't have to do 600 laps. Yeah. I just have to get my foot in there every day.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. So I just have to share this because something you just said hit me, and it was, showing up in it with intention for what you want and what you don't want in your life has been a choice. And so last week, I was in tears before the show, like shaking in tears. And poor Justin was just like, oh boy, okay. You know, and so it was this place of like, I had to show up for this show with intention, even though personally I was shaking and in tears. And you make that choice, right? And it was a hard one because I was like ugly, crying, blowing my nose, just like, Justin, this is a disaster. I'm going to be nasally. I don't even remember what I was supposed to be talking about. And he's like, you got this. And I'm like blowing my nose into the microphone, just like, sorry, I'm so sorry. And but dipping your toe in, right? And choosing like, nope, this is not what is for the next hour. That thing that I am really upset about is not for the next hour. And I had to dip my toe in, like you said, and like recharge. Like I probably could have used 600 laps in the recharge pool at that point. All I had time for was a dip to just right. like come back and like literally take a deep breath and be like, welcome to Rewired Life Radio. You know, it was like, if you could have been a little mouse in my house, you would just been like, what just happened?
But isn't it cool, the power of that? So you did that exactly what I'm saying. You had to access that to get through that hour. And that's what I do to live every day if I want to be happy.
Yeah. and then to have the tools. And so that's my question is what are some of your favorite tools either for yourself or for your clients then to make that shift, right? From shaking and ugly crying to being like, hi everybody, I do this radio show and everything, you know, I just have to show up for it today. How do you do that?
So the first tool is what I said. It's just closing my eyes quick. I call it meditation, but I don't even know if that's the right word. It's just kind of like, it's like a connection,
check in,
a connection, just, you know, kind of clearing out and settling in for a second. So there's that as a technique. And then I'd say another big technique that I do is I write a vision. I write a vision statement. I call it my daily mantra. Uh-huh. And I read it or I rewrite it every day.
Ooh.
So this brings it home, right? This is like, this is what I'm visioning for my life. And it could be in any area. And I usually just do one area at a time because it's too overwhelming if I try to do everything. Mm-hmm. So it could be like this week, it's just about relationships. And then I'm writing down some key things that I want to vision about a relationship in my life and how I want it to feel and what I want it to be. And I write that down, as my vision, and then I read it every day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I tweak it, or maybe I rewrite it to kind of integrate it. That's a big technique that I use, and that is a technique that I absolutely teach my clients to get out of a food war, mm-hmm. to get out of food jail, is this power of visioning and grounding and believing that you can feel what you want to feel before the outside evidence makes you feel that way. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's like, you know, it takes 100,000 choices to get to the big, hairy, audacious goal at the end, right?
Yes.
And so I feel like this in writing or in speaking this mantra, you know, you get to feel that you're headed in the direction of achieving the big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes.
That's what it feels like to me.
And when it comes to food, many of us operate in this place of, oh, I will feel good when I lose 20 pounds. Yeah. I will feel confident confident when. I will feel sexy when this outside thing happens. Well, guess what? You can feel that way right now. However you think you're going to feel when you lose 20 pounds, you can actually bring into your soul, into your body, into your feeling body right now. Uh-huh. And the magic of that is that that is what's going to propel you into actually losing the weight a whole lot faster.
Period. Boom. Period.
Yes.
I think we're just going to end the show on that. You can feel the way you want to feel, you know, your projected future. You can feel it right now because you choose to. I think that's right. Huge. Cynthia, I cannot thank you enough for sharing this hour with me and being on Rewired Life Radio. Again, you can learn more about Cynthia by going to cynthiastad.com. She is a food coach, and you can work one-on-one with her, or she has an awesome program that you can find out more at cynthiastad.com. So again, Cynthia, thank you for sharing this great information with us, and thank you all for tuning in to Rewired Life Radio. Have a wonderful week. Next week, I'm so excited. It is a new month, which means new topics, and I have a juicy announcement waiting for you on the other side. So have a great week. Tune in next week to Rewired Life Radio at Wednesday at noon, and have a great week. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate with author, speaker, and spiritual growth coach, Audrey Michelle. You can listen live each Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. Download the podcast and connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled M-I-C-H-E-L.com.